Well, I stand exactly where I stood when I wrote a blog on it last week, which is actually exactly in line with what Rowan said, Rowan Williams, which is that in terms of our heritage, we are very firmly a Christian country, and that's also been said by a number of other religious leaders like Anil Barnott of the Hindu Council, Farooq Murad of the Muslim Council of Britain, Inderjit Singh of the Sikh organizations. They've all said the same thing. In terms of church going, there remain a huge number of people who go to church in a week, fewer than there used to be, and we are not a church-going country in the way we used to be, but we remain, in heritage terms, in how we think and the way our culture works, a Christian country.
Is it time now for the church to modernise? Of course, now we're celebrating 20 years since the ordination of the first women priests, but still very slow progress towards ever having a woman bishop.
Well, I think the progress is quicker than we expected. Funnily enough, that after I was appointed, the first major complaint I had was the appointment of a woman Archbishop of Canterbury, because someone had read it and they thought that that someone called Justine had been appointed Archbishop of Canterbury, and they wrote in absolutely furious to complain. So you may well have a job in the future. But we've got the vote on women bishops in July at the General Synod, and I am hopeful and we're prayerful that that will go through. And that's quicker than we expected 18 months ago. So, you know, we're just praying and hoping and pushing forward, not counting our chickens.
Now, one of the candidates, if that does go ahead, is Vivian Fall, a pioneer, I would say, within the church, perhaps the first female bishop. She's been very outspoken about there being a place within the church for same-sex marriage.
I mean, I've said really everything I want to say on that, and we're in the middle of conversations, in organised conversations across the church, around the world about this, and I really don't want to preempt that.
What you have said, though, is that gay marriage within the church could be catastrophic for some Christian communities around the world.
As I say, I really don't want to add to what I've said in the past.
Let's talk then about church ethics. One thing you've been very vocal on since you were appointed is payday lenders and changing that to help much poorer people that rely on them. You talked about competing them out of business. Do you think that's happening?
Well, I also said that it's a 10 to 15 year job, but there is a lot of good progress happening. Credit unions are being started by churches around the country as an expression of their love for their local communities, reflecting the love they receive from Jesus Christ. And they're joining credit unions, they're starting credit unions, they're supporting credit unions. We're working with the credit union movement. And it will take a long time. This is the creation, essentially, of a new sector of our financial services industry. But it's started well. We've got a very good working group led by Hector Sants working on that. And people like Bishop Christopher Coxworth in Coventry, you know, one of our great bishops, is working very hard on this as well and very effectively.
Now, one of the things that became apparent after you made those comments was that the Church of England had indirect links to one of those payday loan companies, Wonga. Has that situation been resolved?
Well, in fact, there was an interview on BBC Radio 4 with the person who heads up the ethical side at the Church Commissioners last Sunday. And the exposure to Wonga has been reduced. It's rather less than 0.01% of the total investments. I mean, the problem is that if they've reduced it and they've put in new processes to avoid it happening, they're against investing in high cost lenders. But it's a, as you know, with some of these financial things, it's a difficult thing to get out of because it's part of a bigger investment and it's part of a pension fund, and the church commissioners have obligations to pay pensions, and you know, we would all agree clergy should get their pensions.
I understand that, but it's difficult to reconcile, isn't it? On one hand, saying we need to compete them out of business, on the other hand, still having indirect links to them.
Yeah, and we would very much like not to. And as I say, we changed the system to make sure that doesn't happen again.
One final question. To many people across Coventry and Warwickshire, you're a familiar face. You worked in the diocese for a long time. What are your memories of Coventry?
Incredible diversity, real buzz to the place. That fabulous, world-class, extraordinary cathedral. And then in Warwickshire, the beauty of the area, the friendliness that we found there, our children grew up in Coventry and Warwickshire, high-quality schools, and just lots and lots of good memories, loads of friends.
And are you proud of the work that you were involved with Peace and Reconciliation, which obviously continues today?
I was one of a team. I rejoice in what the team did and continues to do today with David Porter at Coventry Cathedral and the wonderful work they're continuing to do. I mean, people often say that, you know, that Coventry Cathedral is not that well known in the UK, but overseas is seen as one of the great centres of English Christianity, and rightly so.